And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Oh, I'm telling you, prophetic things are so amazing, aren't they? You know, Jesus said that we were going to know secrets that the world would try to contain. But it's just amazing that God said everything will come out. And there's nothing that they even whisper to each other behind closed doors that will not someday be shouted from the rooftops. Well, today, let's do a little bit of shouting, shall we? I like to do that, don't you? And especially if it has to do with exposing evildoers in this world. And if it illustrates the power of prophecy. You know, a lot of people have asked me why I don't call this ministry Tex Mars Ministry. A lot of people do that. They name their ministry after themselves. I think that's a little bit strange. You know, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Crusades. What's that all about? I mean, on and on. You see, I believe the focus should be on our Lord Jesus Christ. And more than that, I believe that He is the very spirit of prophecy. And by the way, that's one of His titles in the book of Revelation. He's the spirit of prophecy. And there is power in the prophetic word of God. And I want to demonstrate to people there's power in prophecy because Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And He told His disciples, "Behold, I have told you before." Before the events occurred, He told them. One time His disciples asked Jesus, "What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world?" A lot of people don't respect Bible prophecy. They say it's not important. Let's just live our best life now. Let's just be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Think positive. Now, any Christian, that's so simple, it's stupid. Of course we think positive. We know the end of the story. We know who's already victorious. It doesn't take much to be positive. In fact, the devil can be positive. You say, "Now, Tex, you're stretching it." No. No, the devil makes positive confessions all the time. He's the Dr. Robert Schuller of hell. I mean, Isaiah 14:12, read it. Lucifer, or the devil, makes 5 positive confessions. He says, "I will, I will, I will, I will, I will." I'm not going to even tell you what the wills are all about. You'll read it there in Isaiah 14. See what the devil said he was going to do. I think today the Illuminati, the elite, they're going around this world making a lot of positive confessions to each other. We will, we will, we will, we will, we will. But listen to what Isaiah said about Lucifer there in Isaiah 14. Isaiah said, the great prophet said, "None of those things are going to happen like you think they are, devil. Instead, your destiny is the pit of hell." Wow. I'd like to say the same thing for the Illuminati elite today, for the secret societies, for the liars in high political places. I'm warning you, the same thing is true for you. No matter how much you positively confess it, make affirmations and all this garbage, use the Rick Warren and the Joel Osteen and the Dr. Schuller and the Paul Yonggi Cho approach, it won't happen at all unless God wills it. I love the little book of James, or letter from James, really, in the New Testament. You know, James said, you know, don't say to yourself, tomorrow I will go into this city and I will do this and that. Don't say to yourself, tomorrow I'm going to do this or that. Instead say, if it be God's will, I will do this thing or that thing. If it be God's will. I think the safe path and the wonderful happy path for a Christian is to wake up every morning and say, God, what have you got deliciously in store for me today? What kind of fun am I going to have today? What kind of a happy life am I going to have? Well, you say, well, Tex, sometimes I wake up with a sore throat and my back's aching and I'm wondering if I'm going to get fired that day at work or if I'm going to run out of gas because I don't have enough money to buy this high-priced gasoline. How can I look at the world in a happy mode? How can you not, dear friends? Jesus says, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about it. You run out of gas, who knows might pick you up. Might be a guy with a better job. He says, what? You're a carpenter? You're a writer? You're a... Why, I have a job for you. You never know about things like that. A lot of bad things have happened to me, and they turned out for good. I've talked to a lot of people who have been fired from a particular job. They were all depressed about it. Next thing you know, they had a better job. Now they're happy. They got fired. Now, if you're not living for the Lord, well, I agree. You should wake up, feel morose, depressed, because you're in sad shape. There's nobody watching out for your welfare. You say, my wife is guarding my back. Well, who's guarding her back? Maybe she is, maybe she isn't. If she's not living for the Lord, maybe she's doing something else you don't even know about. I don't know. But listen to me, friends. When you've got God in your life, He's like your heavenly bodyguard. He watches over you. He sends angels to guide you, to clear the way. How can you not be successful? Only believe. That's what Jesus asked His disciples. They had a lot of questions for Him, and His answer was, only believe. Only believe. I'd like to write a whole book sometime. Oh, I'll just to bulk it up and make it look fancy and everything. It'll probably be 500 pages. You know, and I'll call it The Key to Success in Life. The Key to Success in Life. Nice, pretty, fancy, artistic cover. Sandra here in my ministry, she does all her covers. She'd probably do a wonderful looking cover. You open it up and, you know, it says by Tex Mars. And page one, it says only believe. That's it. All the rest of the 500 pages are empty. Why not? You start out with God, only believe, and then He fills in the pages of your life. And success will be found on the last page, the final success. Well, okay, enough of that. Hey, but I just want you to know today, I'm a happy guy. I am. I'm in a good mood. Now, my wife is at home. I've been at home for 2 weeks writing on my book and things, and she's had a hip replacement. And when they were in there working on that hip, well, they cracked the femur bone just a little bit. Then they had to tie it up with metal, and they told Wanda, well, it'll be 6 or 8 weeks. Oh, those rascals, those doctors. Ah, but we did have a good doctor, and I think he did about as good as he could. Things do happen. But you know what? She's taking it really well. She's a real battler there, and, you know, okay. You know, she's getting around on a walker, and in 6 or 8 weeks, she'll probably be kicking me or doing, yeah. She'd probably like to now kick me every once in a while. I said, watch your leg, girl. No, she doesn't really do that. I'm just teasing. I better watch out. She listens to my radio program, you know, and she knows what, you know, how I get off on a tangent. Hey, let me read you some letters. Then we're going to talk about some secrets today. Secrets. You've got to listen in today because we're going to discover a few things that are quite fascinating. What about the Christian church? Is it going the wrong way today? Maybe. And then George Kennan, a diplomat of the United States, a man who was called Mr. X, died. And now they've written a biography about him. I hope we can get to that. Rudy Giuliani. I spell that J-U-L-I-E-A-N-N-I-E because if I've ever seen a transvestite drag queen, it's that man. And I proved that, by the way, in this month's newsletter. And I have 3 or 4 entertaining pictures of Mr. Giuliani. We'll talk a little bit more about him today. Did you hear about those high school presidential scholars that visited the White House and shocked President Bush? We'll find out what happened. You know, they're building this Trans-American Corridor Highway through the state of Texas and coming up from Mexico, and it's going to sort of cement the North American Union by 2010, the plot of Bush and the Council on Foreign Relations and all of the traitors. And one of the men helping to bring this to fruition is the governor of the great state of Texas, Rick Perry, and we'll tell you a little bit about his recent visit to Israel and how he sucked up to the... Well, anyway, we'll tell you about that. You got to know about that. Well, and also Ron Paul. He had something to say about Governor Perry's visit to Israel. Oh, boy, that's... No wonder they don't want Ron Paul, the congressman running for president. No wonder they don't want him at these debates if the guy tells the truth. People are dangerous when they tell the truth. Very, very dangerous. Hey, there's a guy in Utah, Salt Lake City. Name is Sorensen. He's one of the richest men in the world. People really don't know much about him. But he made the news in the USA Today, and I wanted to tell you a little bit about what he's doing. He's hoping, even though he's very elderly and he probably won't live to see it. In fact, I know he's not going to live to see it because nobody is. But he wants to bring world peace to humanity, peace to the world. A very noble goal. How's he going to do it? Through DNA genealogical research. DNA genealogical research. He said he can bring all the world together, and he's spending hundreds of millions of dollars of his own money to do it. And then I want to introduce you to some Catholic friends of mine. Now, that may shock you. People say, oh, Tex, no. Oh, you're not diverting from the narrow way over to Catholicism. Well, no, but I sort of like what this Catholic publication is saying. Maybe you will, too. Of course, you'll want to put your tape recorders on because, you know, if you're one of those spies and you want to have people listen to my program just to spy on me and, you know, blast me all over the web, you'll want to know the good things I'm saying about Catholics today. Sort of an interesting thing. Okay, we've got a lot more to talk about, but let's get right into some of these letters. Here's from Lauren. She sends me an email about my book, Codex Magica and the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Hello, Tex. She says, I recently purchased your book, Codex Magica, and have been thrilled to learn how to spot these imposters. She goes on to say, I'm a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church and have known for years that our general conference has been infiltrated, but I wasn't sure about the general church leadership at the local level. I live in a small town in Northern California and recently attended a divorce recovery class where the pastor was leading. We used a book as our text, but the pastor also wrote out handouts. In one, he outlined the steps to recovery, but instead of steps, he used words like stations, which seems to be a word very popular among Catholics, and particularly the Jesuits. So this piqued my suspicion that this Seventh-day Adventist pastor was more than what he appeared to be. She goes on to talk about the fact that she has a very small ministry in the church, feeding the homeless, helping the homeless. And the pastor helped her group in setting up a local food closet to help the poor. She said, I visited him in his office, and there was an unusual portrait of him in a strange pose. I guess, she says, I must have had a puzzled look on my face when I was looking at this picture because he immediately offered an explanation of this pose. He said he was signifying that Christ comes and that he, the pastor, meets Christ with empty hands. Well, Lauren goes on to say this very strange to her. Why would a pastor be offering up empty hands to Christ? Well, okay. Yet the portrait, she says, shows him backlit, that's the pastor backlit, with a light radiating behind him. The pastor is sitting at his desk with what looks like a Bible open and placed flat on the desk before him. His hands are positioned face up on top of the book. The only thing is, the pastor's hands in the picture are not open flat, face up, but his thumbs and index fingers are touching each other, forming a circle. Thanks for your book, Codex Magica. I now understand why he was posed this way and who his allegiance really belongs to. Well, he is now retired and we are awaiting a new pastor. I can't wait to see if this new pastor is also tied in with secret societies, the Jesuits, Masons, Illuminists, etc. We surely are in the last days, writes Lauren, and your books are opening the eyes of many. Keep up the good works. I appreciate that, Lauren, very much. Here's from Alfaro. That's an interesting name. Alfaro, email. Subject, I thank God for you. Brother Tex, I've been reading your newsletters for about 6 months now and have been very impressed by your insights into Satan's workings in this world, and particularly his evil and powerful effect on the government of this country. You're a breath of fresh air and a gourmet feast in the Christian world. I find that most pastors pollute the air with those same old God Bless America and George Bush sermons. They're still giving their people the milk and not the meat of the word. You, on the other hand, Tex, speak fearlessly to power and stand on the word of God. And then Al writes, to be honest, I was almost turned away from your ministry because a few months ago, I went on a search engine and found a website and it put you down. I backed off a little bit, but then I went back to the internet and checked on that website and found it was set up by a witchcraft organization. Well, no wonder they were trying to put you down. So this letter text is intended to be a word of encouragement to you. My brother, I believe you are a Barnabas. God bless you and keep that information coming. Hey, thank you, Al. Appreciate that very much. Yeah, watch out for those witches. They sure don't like Tex Mars. I tell you, they don't always identify themselves as witches. They put up these innocent-sounding websites and make you think they're Christians almost, you know. Oh, well, they're deceitful. You know, isn't it wonderful? Jesus said, we have done nothing in secret. Everything that Jesus did was in the open. Everything he did was in the open. Somebody once said to me, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't put my Christianity out there in public. I like to keep it private just in my own life. What a faker. You can't keep your Christianity private. The Gospels say if you're a Christian, you're like a shining light on a hill. You can't hide it in a bushel basket. Oh, my goodness. My religion, my belief in Christ is a private thing. You have no belief in Christ. You're just a liar. If you did have a belief in Christ, you'd want to share it with other people and your light would shine forth. Oh, well, a lot of politicians say that. Well, I believe in Jesus, but I don't want to force my views on anybody. Yeah, that's why you won't even pray in Jesus' name, isn't it? I've seen pastors like that. I went to the Christian Booksellers Association some years ago. Juan and I went to one of the meetings there, and they had a breakfast. They had invited Jewish rabbis, to come to this meeting there at the Christian Booksellers Association. Why? I don't know. Because what do Jewish rabbis know? Absolutely nothing. How can they? The Bible says the natural man, that is the unsaved person, cannot receive the things of God, and these men hate Jesus. How can they know the things of God? It's good to be friends with them. It's good to witness to them. But to treat them as spiritual equals, well, that's just blasphemy. But I noticed there were about three different Christian leaders that got up and prayed. And not a one ended the prayer with something like, you know, we ask these things in the name of Jesus our Lord. Not a one. I went up to one of them, a leader of quite a large ministry that devotes itself to Zionism in Israel. And I said to him, Brother Elwood, why is it you don't mention the name of Jesus in your prayer this morning?
Well, I wouldn't want to offend anybody, Tex.
I said, but you did. You attended two. He said, well, who? I said, me? I'm offended. And not only that, Jesus Christ is offended. You don't have any problem with offending Jesus Christ.
Well, I never thought of it that way.
No, I'm sure you didn't. And today, Brother Elwood McQuaid is probably still giving the same prayer. Fakers all. Don't be offensive to anybody. Of course not. It's better to offend God than offend man, right? Sure, sure. Well, everything will come out in due time. Hey, here's from Buddy. He writes to me from prison. Greetings, Brother Mars in Jesus' holy name. He says, it is obvious to me we're drawing closer and closer to the time of the Great Tribulation as we see events unfold on a daily basis right in front of our very eyes. And I thank God for your ministry. And then he asked me for a favor of sending him a Christian book. And we were very delighted to send Brother Buddy from a prison at Tennessee Colony, Texas. Well, anyway, we sent him a book, a good Christian book that he can read. And we do that quite a bit. So remember this, friends, when you give to this ministry, that's one of the projects we have, reaching out to prisoners. Now, some say, but they're guilty of crimes. Well, of course they are. Are you guilty of any crimes? I know I am. Have you ever told a little fib, even as a child? Have you ever lost your temper? You may be guilty too. But you know, the thing about prisoners is a lot of them really are hungry to know God. I have found it true in life in general. Friends, when you're down deep, deep in the ditch, you know, you want somebody to lend a helping hand. That is exactly the time when we need to evangelize these men. Would you like for them to get out of prison and not commit any more crimes? I would. How do you rehabilitate a burglar, a crook? I'll tell you how to do it. Give them Jesus. You know, you can send them anything, but if you give them Jesus, then that really is the gift that keeps on giving, friends. That's why we send Christian books to prisoners. Some of these men have already come to know Jesus. And you know what they're doing? They're going around reaching and evangelizing others for Christ right in that prison. They are the greatest helpers. Friends, that means actually more for taxpayers. Think about it. The more Christians we have in prison, the fewer guards we need. The fewer troublemakers are there in prison. Wow. It's a wonderful thing. I would love to fill our prisons up with born again Christians so that when they get out, they can be good neighbors, good friends, churchgoers, Jesus lovers. Wow. Would that be great? Anyway, that's one of our missions. And it's just amazing how many prisoners do write to us and thank us for our books, thank us for our generosity. And they listen to our radio program. Some of them, they can get to a radio. They listen to our radio program. That's how they find out about us. Hey, Barbara wrote to me. She says, Dear Tex, a president may hold only two terms of office of 4 years each according to our Constitution. Yet Hillary Clinton seeks to get her husband back into the Oval Office for an illegal third term. This will happen if she gets elected president because we all know that, well, he'll also be in office. We'll get two for one. Don't you think that would be illegal? Worse, she stated she would like to make her husband ambassador to the world. I thought that's what a president should be. Well, okay.
Some good points there, Barbara.
Hey, here's a person who writes to me. Dear Tex, how dare you to judge others? I believe you're going to end up in hell yourself. I cannot believe you judge your brothers on your radio show. You do this without any approval from God. I'm sure of that, because Jesus loves everybody. Signed, Larry. Well, Larry, that gets into the question, should we judge? And, you know, Satan says the answer is no, but he's a liar. I like Jesus' answer. In fact, Jesus says for us to judge all things. But he also says in Matthew 7, verses 1 through 6, he tells us not to judge unrighteously. He says, clean up your own life first, then you can judge correctly and with God's standards of truth. And Jesus said, you got to judge because you don't want to cast your pearl before swine. Who are the swine? Well, Jesus knows. And you've got to know too. Don't cast the things of God before swine, before the hogs, pigs, a lot of them out there. Listen to this, John 7, verse 24. The Lord Jesus said, judge righteous judgment. In Luke 7, 43, Jesus told one man, thou hast rightly judged. Luke 12, verse 57, Jesus told the crowd, why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Among yourselves, why don't you judge what is right? And by the way, friends, I don't mind you judging me at all. In fact, this guy Larry who wrote to me, he was judging me. He called me a crud. He called me names. I didn't even give all the text of his letter because he said some very bad things to me. Said I was going right to hell. Sounds like he was judging me, doesn't it? Isn't he a little bit hypocritical? He judges me and then he says, don't judge. I always loved hypocrites like that. I like a person who writes with text, judge not lest ye be judged. I write him back and say, but aren't you judging me? Oh, well, excuse me. Yeah, they're caught. They're caught in their own contradiction. But I don't really mind them judging me. See, they say I shouldn't judge, but I don't mind them judging me. I compliment them, but they should exercise righteous judgment. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. 1 Corinthians 10:15. You can be the judge of what I say. If you're a wise man, I'm speaking to wise men. The dumb, the unwise, what does it matter about them? They can't judge righteously. But Paul said, as far as wise men concern, I want you to judge what I say, whether it's right or wrong. And then in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 15, he says, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Wow. Now, there is a standard you've got to use. What is the standard of judgment? Well, Isaiah, the prophet, told us what it is. Here it is. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Wow. I love it. Should we judge? Well, of course you have to judge. It's a duty of every Christian. Well, when we come back, we're going to get into more secrets, and I've got a lot for you, including some of the things the Catholics are saying about their own church. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Tex Mars, and this is Power of Prophecy going around the world from WWCR out of Nashville, Tennessee, and on streaming audio at powerofprophecy.com. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars. You know, we were just talking, weren't we, about judging? Should we judge? The answer is, the Bible says, yes, do judge. Judge righteously. And tell the truth. Make sure it's in accordance with the Bible when you judge a person. Or an organization, or a group. Or a church, for that matter. A lot of people write to me about their church, and they're very disappointed in some of the, well, let me just put it this way, the horrors that
terrible abominations going on in their own churches. I get this all the time across America and the world. They're bitterly disappointed, and I understand why when they explain to me these things. And they say, well, I feel so terrible at judging, but what do you feel terrible about? That's your duty to judge. Not in a mean, vindictive, vicious way. Because we would all prefer that men be good, that men follow the things of God. I would love for every church in Austin, Texas, where I live, to be a wonderful paragon of virtue, but let's face it, they're not. Paul said in the last days, men would go about deceiving and being deceived. Things would wax worse and worse until the end comes, he said. That's prophecy. We can expect these things, can't we? And one of the things we can expect, that in the last days, the most wicked group in the world, the most dangerous, the most deadly, the most blasphemous, is an entity that Jesus in the book of Revelation calls, now get this, the synagogue of Satan. Wow. The synagogue of Satan. Well, we published a book by a British writer and Christian, by the way, very fine gentleman, named Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. Well, it's a thriller mystery, all right. He must be kin to Alfred Hitchcock. Oh, I'll tell you. But this book is a fantastic book. Almost 300 pages, I believe. Isn't it, Sandra? 324. Okay, good. Over 300 pages. Its cost is $20. That's what we're asking for the book. We'll get it right out to you. I think it's in our third printing now, if I'm not mistaken. Second or third printing. Second, she says. Okay, second. I think it is third. But it doesn't really matter because so many people want to find out the truth about the synagogue of Satan. And I've said before, friends, a lot of people are worried about the Islam religion. Others are worried about Hindu and New Ageism and Buddhism. And listen, all of those things are anti-God, anti-Holy Bible. I'm not in favor of any of those things. But what does God say will be the most wicked religious group on earth in the last days? He says it's the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2, verse 9. Revelation 3, verse 9. Isn't that fascinating? Now, what does it mean, the synagogue of Satan? Well, this book, by that very same title and name, Synagogue of Satan, is offered to you for just $20. Now, add $4 shipping and handling. This is the most well-documented book. You will discover the amazing truth about the plot and conspiracy of the synagogue of Satan since the times of Jesus Christ. For 2,000 years, these men and women have plotted to seize full and all authority in this world. They've plotted to destroy Christianity, to bring bloodshed and death to the world, and to set up a new world order. And it's all recorded in this book, The Synagogue of Satan, which is perfectly in line with the Word of God and what it prophesies. That's why I was attracted to this book. You won't find a book like this anywhere else. Everybody else is afraid to publish it. They told me, Tex, you're out of your mind. Don't you know? The Jewish ADL, the Jewish JDL, the World Jewish Congress, all these groups will be after you. They've got such power and authority. They control the Internal Revenue Service. They control, well, just about everything today. You can't do that, but you know what? My Bible says I can do that. My Bible says I'm more than a conqueror. My Bible says I'm an overcomer through Jesus Christ and His shed blood. There's nobody that can stop me. Say, Tex, now that's arrogant. No, what did I just say? Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, I am more than a conqueror. Greater is He that is in you than he is that is in the world. That's a fact. Now, if I didn't have God, I'd be frightened to death. I'd be trembling. I'd hide in my closet. I wouldn't even get near a book like this. But as it is, I don't really care. I know my direction. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going to end up. You say, yeah, but you can have a lot of pain on the way there. So, hey, friends, I only have one life to give for my Savior. May as well just use it up fast. Fast and furious. I guess I'm like a Christian NASCAR driver. I just like to drive down that track fast as I can, take those curves, and say, well, Jesus is my co-pilot. That's the way I feel. Hey, why don't you get this book and you develop that same attitude for yourself? You'll be a lot happier. The Synagogue of Satan. And by the way, I want you to judge that book. I want you to buy that book. I want you to read it. I want you to compare it with what the Bible says. And then if you don't like it, you can return it and we'll give you a full refund. Now don't mark it all up and tear it all up and then send it back. That's not quite right. But, you know, try to keep it in decent shape and read it. And if you don't like it, well, send it back. All you're out is just shipping and handling. That's all. All right? Okay. We'll give you your money back. Can't beat a deal like that. Judge it. Judge it. I like that. And judge what I say, too, by the way. Now, here's how to get your book. Just phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. In the continental United States and Canada. Yeah, we'll take in you Canadians, too. We love you. I just loved going up to Canada, making trouble up there on one of their top radio shows. And, boy, the host was angry at me, and he put witches on, and they blasted me, and they went down and filed a complaint against me at the local police. And I still went right downtown to historic an ancient Calvary church and said exactly what I was going to say and, you know, had a ball there. Had a fun time, and that was in Winnipeg, Canada, and later I went to Toronto, Canada. I pretty well did the same thing there. I think that those witches, they're probably still out there looking for me, patrolling the highways of Canada. It's been about 10 years. Well, anyway, you Canadians, you're welcome, too, to order this book, 1-800-234-9673. Hey, if you're outside the United States, our phone number is area code 512-263-9780. And please call during our workday, Central Standard Time. That's 8 to 5:30, 8 a.m. to 5:30. You can write to us, of course, Power of Prophecy. Send $24 and we'll send that book, Synagogue of Satan, postpaid to you. Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733 in the USA. Actually, that's the Republic of Texas, but don't put that on your envelopes. That's just our little secret. You and I, okay? We're the Republic of Texas. I love America, but, you know, I like to have two countries going at once. Republic of Texas and the United States. And then, of course, I'm not really a citizen of either one. I'm a citizen of heaven. Of course, I'm just sojourning here. I like the journey, though. I like staying here in America. Greatest country in the world, Texas and the United States. Two countries. Okay. You may feel that way about Michigan or Kansas or some other place. I don't know. And that's good. That's good. I like that. Love where you're at. Why not? Okay. Let's return to our regular program now. We're talking about some secrets today. I was reading some letters. Dear Pastor Tex, he writes me from Santa Fe Springs, California. I have an 11-year-old son attending a private Christian school. But that school is using sophistry, that means a little bit of deceit, to sell the idea that Jews do not need Jesus to get to heaven, and that Christians owe Jews support of Israel. Would you believe that the good Baptist church we attend also sells this nonsense? We Christians have become, writes my friend here, our own worst enemy. Boy, that's signed, by the way, anonymous supporter. I don't know why, but he's from Santa Fe Springs, California, and I know he orders a lot, but he wants to remain anonymous. Okay, no problem. I agree with you, by the way. You know, dear friend from California, it's interesting. Have you noticed the church is always trying to ape the world?
Yeah.
The church wants to be like the world. Barna, a firm that's Christian, recently did a survey. And they ask only people who identify themselves as born-again Christians, people who say, yes, I'm a born-again Christian. They ask these people only, do you believe that Jesus is the only way to salvation? Or can Buddhists, Hindus, Jews, and those of other religions also go to heaven without Jesus? Did you know that 68% of those who say they were born-again Christians, 68%, a staggering number, agree that all those people of other religions do not need Jesus? Jesus is not the only way to heaven. Well, I have news for Barna. He was too nice to say it. Those people aren't born-again Christians. They're not born-again Christians. The 68% that don't believe Jesus is the only way, they're not born-again Christians. You can say you're anything. I can say that I'm a redneck turkey, but I'm, well, maybe some people would like to call me that name, a turkey, but I know I'm not. I look in the mirror. Okay. You know, the word church comes from the Greek word ecclesia. Do you know what that means, friends? It means to be called out of the world. We're told in the Bible to separate ourselves from the things of the world. Come out, be ye separate, says Jesus, and I will receive you. Well, though those people aren't going to be received by Christ. No way. And those people who believe that Jews don't need Jesus, they're not Christians. Well, they're Baptists. Okay, well, they're Baptists. Good. I'm glad. You can be a Methodist, too. A Lutheran, but you're not a Christian. So, that settles that, doesn't it? Okay. Let's see. Okay, Gertrude writes me, and she says, Tex, what kind of a person should a woman be in today's world? I was going to sort of save that for Mother's Day. What kind of a person, asked Gertrude, should a Christian woman be in today's world? You know, Gertrude, I have a lot to say about that, but I think I'm just going to sort of go to the Bible, Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she will rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Friends, ladies in particular, does your husband praise you? If he doesn't, ask him why. Why doesn't he praise you? Maybe he's got a problem. Unless he can come up with some concrete answers. And if he does, well, work on those things. Improve. Get back with him. But if not, then he's got a defect. Maybe next week I'll talk about what it takes to be a good husband, a good man. In these last days on this planet. But I like Proverbs chapter 3 for women. Hey, we're talking about earlier about Governor Rick Perry of Texas. Well, I have the Austin American Statesman newspaper in front of me. Here is a picture of old Rick. Rick himself shaking hands with Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert over there in Jerusalem. Boy. Seems old Rick Perry is intending to go on to higher office. Did you know that this article put out by Cox Newspapers Nationwide says that evidently Rick Perry wants more than just being governor of Texas? Wow, huh? He's a very handsome guy, very photogenic. He got into office, by the way, Governor Perry, by saying he was going to support private property rights. You know, the environmentalists were taking away a lot of people's lands and all that, and ranchers, especially in Texas. And Rick Perry says, I'm going to be for private property owners, for the citizens. I'm sick and tired of these environmental people taking away people's property. Boy, he got a lot of votes for that. He was conservative. But now, he's sold out to the Council on Foreign Relations and the Synagogue of Satan. And he's gone over to Israel and shaking hands. Now, what is a Texas governor doing on Texas taxpayers' money visiting Israel? Isn't that the job of our federal government? Well, of course it is. By the way, Rick Perry is the one that's promoting this Trans-American Corridor, this North American Union deal. Oh, yeah. He's also pro-illegal immigrant, not doing one flittery thing to stop the illegal aliens. Well, he did go down and get a photo op down on the border. We're going to have enforcement of our border. But then he did nothing about it. Just another liar. Oh, my. But, you know, a lot of people say, I voted for Rick Perry. How could I not? The Democrats were worse. That's the problem, isn't it? There's not a shekel's worth of difference between the two parties, Democrat and Republic. Oh, boy. And, of course, naturally, when he was over there in Israel, here's what Perry said. He said, America has a special relationship with Israel. And in the midst of turmoil and bloodshed, America must remain an unwavering supporter of a strong Jewish state in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. Now, it's interesting that the Texas Republican Party came out with its platform during the last election. And did you know the platform says this? This is the Republican platform. Quote, America is a Christian nation. I wonder what Rick Perry had to say about that. I mean, he's voted in as governor of the state of Texas, and the Republicans of the state of Texas had a state convention, and in their platform is this plank that says, America is a Christian nation. Well, guess what, friends? According to the American Statesman, June 28, 2007, Rick Perry, the governor of Texas, his office was asked that very question. How does Rick Perry stand on the Republican Party's plank, their platform, America's a Christian nation? Well, his assistant, Mr. Black, Robert Black, explains it this way. In fact, that's his press secretary. Quote, the governor does not write platforms, Black said. The Texas Republican Party are against some of the things he stands for. Did you get that? He didn't mind pretending he was, you know, for the platform when he was running for governor. But now that he's in and he's been there and he's in his second session and he'll be leaving office pretty soon, he's cozying up to the synagogue of Satan. And, you know, he just doesn't agree with everything on that platform anymore. He's ready for bigger and better things. By the way, did you know that the Bilderbergers had a secret meeting again in Istanbul, Turkey this summer? Actually, right at the beginning of the summer. Istanbul, Turkey, the Bilderbergers met. Oh, yes. That secretive group of just a few hundred elitists from Europe and the United States. And guess who? Only a small handful of United States governors were there. And Rick Perry went to the Bilderbergers meeting. I wonder what that has to do with governing Texas. Well, nothing. The American Free Press is a newsletter I love to read. And I just got this week's issue, July 2nd, 2007, in. And here's an article on page 3. And it quotes my good friend, Congressman Representative Ron Paul from Texas, Sugar Land, Texas. Ron Paul is running for president, of course. He's the only one I trust. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is my personal endorsement. This is my personal choice. You know, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not asking you to vote for anybody. I don't ask for people to vote. But when people ask Tex Mars who my personal choice is for president, I will tell you flat out it's Congressman Ron Paul. I've never known the man to lie. I believe the man is right, home front, a constitutionalist, America first. He doesn't hate anybody. He understands the truth about the Federal Reserve Board and its banker conspiracy. He is against the Trans-Texas and Trans-American corridors. He's against the big boys. He's not a member of the CFR. All those things. I want to repeat again. When I vote, every opportunity I have, I will vote for Congressman Ron Paul. So if you want to know, then fine. Now, some people say, oh, you shouldn't do that. You know, you're a Christian leader. You shouldn't state who you're going to vote for. Say what? I don't have any rights as a Christian? I don't have any rights as an American? Listen, friend, I'm not afraid to say who I'll vote for. And when I meet you out on the street, or if you come to my house or come to this office, I might just ask you who you're going to vote for. You're not going to make me mad if you say you're going to vote for somebody else, but I'll probably say, well, I think you ought to vote for Congressman Paul. Here's why. I think it's very strange when people say you don't have a right to do that. First of all, by the way, I'm not a 501c3 organization. We're not 501c3. We're not government run here. We don't ask the government what to do. Now, I'm not spending any ministry money. We're not donating money to Ron Paul. If I wanted to do that, I'd give my own money, Tex Mars money. As I said, this is a personal choice. This is my decision. And that's the way it goes. But here's what Ron Paul said about Rick Perry and what he did in terms of going to the Bilderbergers. He said that Perry is selling out Texas to foreign corporations and truly international interests. Did you get that, what Congressman Paul said? And then Congressman Paul said of Perry, quote, it is a sign that he is part of the international conspiracy. Wow. Interesting, isn't it? Thank you, Congressman Paul, for that. And boy, don't I agree with you on that one. Hey, I want to tell you about a man in Salt Lake City, Utah. Evidently, he's one of the richest men in the world. And his wife, Beverly, his name is James Sorensen. They say he's a very strange man. You talk to him and he's like, you know, he just goes all over the map. You can't hardly keep track of what the man's saying. Evidently, he's quite a genius, but you wouldn't think so from just meeting. Some people say, well, he must be paranoid or schizophrenic. He has dyslexia. His teacher said he'd really never amount to anything. But his mother said, yes, you will. His teacher said he'd never even learn to read. But this man has more inventions that he has patented than almost anybody in America. Most of them in the medical field. He's only granted 5 or 6 interviews in his entire life. He's worth $4.7 billion. I suppose he's been successful. Wouldn't you say? He started out with nothing. He started out by investing $25 to buy a lot, just a lot of land out in the desert of Utah. Well, today he owns hundreds of thousands of acres of land, but he's got a new goal, world peace. How to do that? DNA genealogical research. Now listen to this. You know, we've done a lot on DNA genealogical research right here at Power Prophecy, because many people have tried to suggest to me the Jews deserve to possess the land of Israel. And then I come back and say, well, who are the Jews? And they say, well, you know, those people over in Israel. I say, well, Palestinians are over there in Israel. They were thrown out off of about 90% of their land, but they live there, and they still live there. So which ones are the Jews? Well, you know, the seed of Abraham. Well, the seed of Abraham, Ishmael, which one was it? What was the seed of Abraham? In fact, Galatians 3, verse 29 says, if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. According to Jesus, it's not a matter of race. It's a matter of grace. It's a matter of faith. You're Abraham's seed if you believe in Jesus and belong to him. You see, spirit is all that matters to God. A man's heart. Because, believe me, as Paul said in the Bible, what you see all about you, your body, everything here on earth, you're going to leave it right here. dust to dust. You're going to leave it right here. There is nothing you're going to take with you to heaven except whatever God has purified. And if he hadn't purified, your spirit is going down to hell. Two locations, two directions you can go in. And that's all you're going to take with you. Nothing here. Nothing. Nothing. You're going to leave it in a casket. You're going to cremate it. I don't care whether you cremate it or put it in a casket. It's going to stay here. And you're not going to be in it. It's just a container anyway. It's getting older every day anyway. I don't want to stay here forever. Do you? Well, some people do. See, this is the only thing they've got to hold on to. Just this earth. That's why the Jews want to stay here. They want a world kingdom. That's what Mr. Hitchcock says in the Synagogue of Satan. And he quotes the Bible. Of course, they told Jesus, have you come to be our king? He says, my kingdom is not of this world. Oh, well, let's crucify this guy. We're looking for a Messiah that will bring us a kingdom of the whole world. Well, that wasn't him. You're looking for the wrong guy. But he has a kingdom. He told Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. Wow. Well, here's what Sorensen's ideal is. He says that when people discover that there's no such thing really as a Jew or a Palestinian, there's no such thing as a Greek or a German, that we're all of out of one race. We all come from one place, one couple, Adam and Eve. We're all of one blood. Do you know the book of Acts says that? Out of one blood, God made all the people on the face of the earth. That's why Christians cannot be racist. Isn't it a little silly to say, well, my skin color is better than yourn? That is pretty bad, isn't it? Well, I'm a Jew, and God worked through our nation, and we're so much better than you. But he says there might be Palestinians, and there are Palestinians, Mr. Sorensen says, who have more ancient Israelite blood than do people who call themselves Jews. Wow. Well, you know, that's exactly what medical research and science have shown now. Many of the people who say they're Jews are not Jews. They're imposters. Many of them don't even know it. They run around saying, yeah, I'm a Jew. I believe in Judaism, but they're not even Jews. I mean, Marilyn Monroe converted to Judaism, but she wasn't a Jew. Sammy Davis Jr., a black man, converted to Judaism, but he wasn't a Jew. People are all mixed up now. This is why it makes no sense to try to say we're going to support Israel because the Jews were told they're going to possess the land. Nobody knows who the Jews are anymore. You say, well, God does. Well, God knows everything, but you're not God. But Mr. Sorensen has decided to spend hundreds of millions of dollars of his own money. He's going to make DNA databanks available for little charge. You know, maybe pay $5 and you can find out all of your ancestors and all of your blood types and all the races and all that. And he thinks when people see we're all basically the same, there'll come world peace. Well, I appreciate Mr. Sorensen, but it won't happen. My friends, the Bible says only when Jesus comes again will there be world peace. Friends, we've run out of time. I'm going to have to save that information about the Catholics until next time. It's been great being with you again, talking about a few secrets, looking at news in a different way, a different slant. Biased? Yes, we are biased in favor of the truth. Well, until next time, friends, I'm asking you, praying that you will tune in and discover the power of prophecy.